5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Iannelli here with another amazing Croc podcast for you, the survivor slash thriver. It is another tool to put in your toolbox, my friend and co-host Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. How are you, my friend?
Get pasta. How's it going, everybody? Hello to the Croc Nation. It is another Sunday, and I am excited, my friend.
It's Christmas is closing in on us, and I see we have a tri-host today. Our friend, Noah Santana is in your lap, and he looks ready and raring to go.
Oh, yeah. Had about 6 pounds of applesauce. He's good.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You might want to not put him actually on your lap, but maybe between your lap.
This is true.
So, Angel, we kind of started with a little ebullience. It's not really a word. We make them up here, but with our enthusiasm. But as you know, this is a series of three podcasts talking about the exact opposite of, holiday cheer. And that's for our dear survivors slash thrivers who are having difficulty during the holidays. They've just been diagnosed, or they're going through a stressful time, or they're alone and isolated or depressed or in pain from the side effects of therapy or from their cancer itself. And, they're just not in the middle, in the mood to really party or be festive. And we did that last week. And tonight, which will be the week before Christmas, we're going to do the other side. And actually, there'll be a two-part podcast, trying to help people whose loved ones, survivors slash thrivers, are no longer with us. And that really makes life very empty. And again, not festive. And you have some of the most cheery commercials on, and the Yule log and all of the commercialism and all of the frantic shopping and, everyone smiling and really nice to each other. Angel and I are in New York State, not New York City, but we still see a lot of the sass of the New Yorkers kind of, melt a bit during the holiday season. And, here you guys are grieving a loved one. And, we want to try to give you some strategies. So I found in my research for these two podcasts, a woman who appears to be a very remarkable woman. Her life's work certainly is remarkable. Her name is Litsa Williams, L-I-T-S-A Williams. And Angel, if you could put as much on information about her for our survivor slash thrivers, we'll get in touch with her. Maybe she'll even agree to come on. She's a very, very, well-published and well-respected, counselor slash social worker who has published books dealing with grief. The articles I found were 64 tips for coping with grief at the holidays, which I thought would be perfect for our survivor slash thrivers, loved ones who are still with us. So why don't we get right into it? There'll be two short podcasts. And I guess, Angel, what we'll do is we'll just break them up into two. We'll kind of, you and I will go full steam, and then maybe at the halfway point, we'll just kind of wish everybody a farewell, and then we'll resume. How's that sound?
I think it's great. And it's also a great opportunity for everybody who's just joining us this week to go back, because last week was really something special.
And sir, I thank you for saying that, because I really agree with that. So without any further ado, other than the fact that I promise we're going to get more information about, Ms. Williams and get some, maybe even some personal contact with her, that'd be fantastic. And we'll put some resources for you to reach out to her, actually not her, but to her blog and her website in regard to, coping with grief. And I believe it's the name of her place is What's Your Grief, I think, something like that. But God bless her. Thank you, Litsa, for all you do for people that are in pain. So the first thing she recommends is the acknowledgement that the holidays will be different this year. So your loved one is not with you. And that loved one probably had been with you, if not for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 holidays, perhaps decades, perhaps even 50 years or five decades, or maybe close to six decades. Maybe it's a parent, you know, maybe it's a, you know, a sibling, maybe it's a partner, a spouse, maybe it's a child, or, you know, one of your children. So I think the fact that we have to be right up front with it, that you have to just acknowledge the fact that, yes, it is really here. The holidays are here. And yes, they will be different. They will look different. And I think what she, again, moving forward, deciding what traditions you want to keep. So in the Serrano Iannelli house, and even in the Iannelli house with my kids, like, we're all about traditions. And it's been so much fun developing new traditions with my wife and honoring the traditions I've had with my kids. And God, it's just so much fun. And it could be something so stupid, you know, like a tin of popcorn on Christmas morning, or it could be, you know, the white elephant with my wife's family, or whatever it is. It's just wonderful to have a tradition, but those traditions hurt because that person that's so special to you is not here anymore. So it could take a very, very wonderful tradition and maybe make it painful. And I completely understand that, as does Miss Williams. So I think we need you to evaluate what traditions mean a lot to you and a lot, and then decide which ones you want to keep and which ones you don't. The other thing are grievers, and I'm sure she would agree, grieve very differently. Sometimes people love to have, you know, the memory of the loved one out, right out in the open, and just pictures and, you know, telling stories. And then sometimes it's just too painful for certain people, and then they just can't do it. I know when my, I think she and I share having lost a parent at a young age. You know, I remember I was a bit younger, but I remember when my dad left, you know, us, I remember the first week or two. I mean, when I would sit at dinner, I would almost have a conversation with him, telling him what I was having for dinner. And, you know, and almost like maybe I was in denial that he died, but, you know, it gave me comfort to feel that he was still part of my life, even though he wasn't on this earth. So I think when we get into some of these strategies, you're going to look to see what works for you, what kind of griever you are. And then there's always the ability to create a new tradition, not just for you moving forward, but maybe a new tradition in order to honor your loved one. That might be something that might be useful. Decide where you want to spend the holiday. So I think a lot of times, you know, holidays are dictated to us. Okay, where are we going for the holidays? Okay, well, we're going to this place, or, you know, it's at Dana's this year, or it's at my cousin Yale's, or it's at my cousin Lisa's, or it's at our house. Or, you know, Angel, you have a host of different people. You have your in-laws, and then you have your brother-in-law, and then you have your brothers, and you have your mom and dad. So a lot of people even go to different places. But I think what she wants you guys to do is realize and empower you with the fact that you have a choice of where your holidays can be. Those holidays no longer have to be dictated to you. You have some say in it. So I think that when life is normal, we just kind of go with the flow, as you would say. We may complain, you know, oh my God, we're going to your mother's again. But we go, and I don't know if that's necessary. I think that you have say in this, especially if you're in pain. And plan ahead and communicate with everyone. Don't keep it inside. Just say, hey, listen, guys, you know, this holiday is not working for me. I'm just not there yet. I know you guys, you know, are at peace with the passing, but I am not at peace with the passing yet, and I am not there yet. So I just want to let you know, I can't commit. You know, when you guys, if you're waiting for me to, you know, bring the meatloaf or to bring the string beans or the five bean salad, or if you're waiting for me to bring the stuffed mushrooms, you know what? Don't count on me for anything. I don't even know if I'm going to be going there. So make sure, but don't do it like that day, because then everybody's going to be angry at you. And then you're going to be even more, you're going to be in more despair, because now you're going to have your family angry at you because this. Also, I think I mentioned this, no one grieves the same way. So you have to be very, very gentle and kind to yourself, and you have to be very forgiving if someone's grieving, you know, going through the grieving process quicker than you are. That doesn't mean they're better than you. Maybe in a race, they would be better than you, but you're not in a race. You know, grieving is not a foot race. It's not a, you know, 10K. It's not a triathlon. It's not a marathon. It's a lifelong process. And if someone is going through the stages quicker, that doesn't make them better. So be okay with the way you grieve or what your timeline is. And remember, the way that others will want to spend the holidays may not be the way you want to spend the holiday. So that's, and it's okay that, you know, and I know it's going to be hard because you might have a, you know, a partner, if the partner isn't the one you lost, who would be very enthusiastic. And I used the word festive about 100 times already, but festive, and you hate to, you know, put a damper on that process. But it's okay. You know, be yourself, you know, be honest and be right there. And you might want to, and again, this is for the people who grieve, wanting to be there with their memories and with their thoughts and with the stories and with the pictures, put a memory stocking or a memory box. You can write down memories that you can share with others. You could light a candle in your home, a memory candle for someone that you've lost. You can include your loved one's favorite dish. So when it's my turn to go, I want hot dogs everywhere. I want to be pounds and pounds of hot dogs.
Nice.
With every single topping that you can possibly think of. And when it's my wife's turn, we're going to have pizza of all flavors, except no meat. There won't be any meat on those pizzas, but there'll be onions and there'll be peppers and there'll be all sorts of good stuff. Also, you might want to, and again, I mentioned this, being honest, tell people what you want, tell people what you don't want, and that's okay. You know, you can set loving boundaries. There's no reason why you shouldn't. A really neat thing that I've seen people do is make a donation to a charity that was important to the person you lost. Buy a gift you wouldn't have given to your loved one and donate it to a charity. So my wife will buy a Lamborghini and she will give it away to charity. if you're feeling really ambitious, you could also adopt a family. We do this at work and it's really awesome. Angel, do you do this at church where you would adopt a family for, you know, for the holidays and then, you know, provide them with everything? And boy, that feels good. And you could do
as
it.
As a matter of fact, I didn't mean to cut you off. As a matter of fact, no lie here. Today, because we're obviously airing at 9 a.m. today at 3 p.m. there's going to be a concert that'll be broadcasted from my church because we sponsored some families from Ukraine. So there's actually a huge piano concert and it'll be available, and anybody can just, you know, listen to it. It's going to be great.
Excellent. And we've done it at work, and boy, I'll tell you, and remember, it's not you giving the gift. It's you're doing it in memory, you know, in honor of the person who's not with you. Many of us have trouble with grief, let's be honest. And sometimes it can be dangerous. And we've had, you know, podcasts on this matter about thoughts of hurting yourself or thoughts of really just not being functional or just not getting back into your life and perhaps a professional, a counselor. You know, Ms. Williams might be her website, her blog, her books might be a good first, you know, first step for people to be able to try to figure that out. And you might want to pick out a few items that belong to your loved one, give them to friends and family. So that's things I noticed with my father-in-law, such a great man. You know, he was a New York City detective. I see, you know, one of the daughters has his hat. One of them has the badge, you know, so it's a very special thing I noticed between the girls, you know, how they, take it and they distribute it. And maybe, you know, if it's someone who it might be a grandfather, you want to gift his watch to one of his grandsons or, you know, one of my son's friends' grandfather's passed away and he won a world championship, college world championship for Wake Forest back in the whenever. And he got the medal. So that was a very special thing. People might have been in the Olympics or have a diploma. I carried my dad's NYU diploma with me for many, many years, even hung it on the wall. So, you know, that would be, that's a really nice thing for people to honor their loved one. You could also send a holiday card to friends of your loved one who you may have lost touch with, just to tell them how you're doing and how much you appreciate them and how they shouldn't feel bad because you've lost touch, you know, and that would be a wonderful way of honoring. You can go to the gravesite. You can leave flowers or a grave blanket or just say a few words or just have a little talk, right? Just talk. You can play holiday music that your loved one might have favored. Or if they hated holiday music, that's okay. You could even play some Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or, you know, whatever, you know, Def Leppard, whatever was their favorite music. There's nothing wrong with that to give them, to honor them. You could also, I always tell people, right, Angel, you and I, about being creative and journaling or writing poetry or just writing thoughts down and, absolutely, you know, outlines and stories and things. That's always a very, very nice way of getting through your grief. And you could also, guess what, Angel? You could skip it. You can skip the holiday entirely, right? You don't have to have, you know, a holiday if you really don't want to. And guess what? You don't even have to feel guilty about it. And if you want to do certain things, so if you think about it, I was looking at my holiday calendar. I had 6 or 7 social events over the last 2 weeks. And, you know, if I was really in a funk, I went to all of them, but I could have really picked and chose. I could have, you know, the word, we make these words up. We don't even use proper grammar on this podcast. But you could pick and choose what events, you know, you feel comfortable with and which events that you don't. And don't get trapped. You know, I'm famous for always, you know, committing and saying yes, 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 yes. Put a little pause in there. Don't necessarily say yes right away. Say, thank you for that invitation. It was very gracious of you. I'm not saying no, but I do want to kind of think about it. So there's nothing wrong with that. And if the person that you're talking to is a mature, evolved individual, then I guess they will understand. If they're not and they get angry, well, maybe that's not a person you want in your life anyway, right? You can get out the old photo albums, look at the photos, look at the videos if it's not something that rips your heart out. You could also talk to the kids about that person during the holiday because they could be confused about what mixed messages. It's like, you know, I want you guys to be happy because you're my kids, but I'm really sad because grandpa's not here, or grandma's not here. You know, so the kids are very confused. It's, well, should we be happy or should we be sad? You know, mom or dad want us to laugh and play and go sledding and play with their major Matt Mason. But at the same time, I see them secretly, you know, sitting in a cry and, you know, crying in a corner. I don't know what's the appropriate emotion that I should be feeling. And you could also make a recipe that your loved one loved to honor them and to enjoy, because there's no reason not to if it's something that you want to. You could leave one of the seats at the table empty, maybe the seat where they used to sit, and that might be another way of honoring them. And you may not want to send a holiday card. You know, why do you want to send a card if you're really in grief, telling everybody how great you are when you're really not that great? And you shouldn't feel guilty again. That word guilt, Angel, is something that's comes up often. So, you know, I think that would be the take home message for the first part of this podcast, is don't feel bad about your decisions. And I know on a much smaller level than losing a loved one to, you know, to cancer, you know, when we lost our pup, this year, it was right before July 4th. And, you know, my best pal, you know, was having his fireworks, and it's like, I couldn't go. I just couldn't get, I just couldn't go and just couldn't do it. So, you know, there's nothing wrong about that. And I did feel guilty. So I'm telling you guys not to do what I did. So that will end the first part. And then we'll continue on Christmas Day with the second part. And then we'll have Father Steve's wonderful end of year prayer blessing for 2023. That'll come up on January 1st. Angel, your thoughts?
You know, it hits home to me. I have somebody who lost their grandmothers a week apart. Tradition was a very, very big thing for us. And some of the things that we had to alter and change over the years, we continue to honor my grandmother, but we find ourselves creating new traditions by altering old traditions and mending them and putting them together. And it keeps their memory alive. But more importantly, you allow yourself to heal as you move forward.
Beautiful. You wonderfully said. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin. Thank you for your contributions as always. We were just talking. We had the board meeting last week, as you know. And boy, every single board member, you know, their homework assignments are to catch up with the podcast, listen, give some criticism. They absolutely love your contribution to this podcast. I love your contribution to this podcast. I think you really add a dimension for our survivors. And I wanted to thank you because I never thank you. So I'm thanking you.
You thank me every day. You invite me to your show.
Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Thank you, my friend, for everything you do for us. The board of directors, for what a great year. It just was a terrific year. We did so much this year. And God, you give us your time. You don't complain. You come to the dinners. You come prepared. You really give, and it really shows. So thank you, guys. Really appreciate that. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, for your support and belief in us. And of course, to our wonderful survivors/thrivers, you are worthy. I know you're not feeling exactly great as to this podcast. You're grieving, you're sad, you're not festive. The holidays are weighing you down. Well, Angel and I are here to tell you that you are special. You are wonderful. You are brave. You are courageous. You are a fighter. You are a warrior. You are an absolute worthy human being. You're intelligent, you're funny, and you're beautiful. And we love you, and we love the fact that we have this opportunity to come to into your home, into your ears, into your heart, into your soul every week to try to give you those tools to help you through your survivorship/thrivership. And we end each podcast the same. On behalf of Angel and the board, we wish you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.